From the studios of Dublin City FM, on FM Fridays at 3 p.m. and anytime worldwide in podcast, it's Dublin's only garden radio show, in association with greensax.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. This is The Sod Show.
It's Friday, it is 3 p.m. and this is The Sod Show, brought to you in association with greensax.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. Niall, I just stole your intro.
I know, how could you? No, seriously, no problem. It's really pretty much all about you this week, Peter, and your very special guest that you have there. In fact, I'm not going to do much talking at all this week. Who have you got there with you today?
In my company is the wonderful and extremely talented Fionnuala Fallon. Fionnuala, how are you?
I'm very well. I'm very well. Thank you.
You've just released your new book.
My first book ever. Yeah. My first book ever. From the Ground Up, How Ireland is Growing Its Own, with Collins Press, the publishers. Yeah. My dearly loved husband giving the photographs for it. Yeah.
I had pre-recorded a little excerpt which never went to air, and I commented on how your husband managed to get the gig doing the photography. It seems it was quite a short straw poll.
No, actually, we worked together on a lot of different gigs anyway, so we were both freelancers. So we worked for the Irish Garden magazine and for the Irish Times and stuff. So we actually were really kind of used to working together, and thankfully we got on very well. We're in a work situation, actually, yeah.
Do you get on like the couple out of Father Ted who own the hardware store? That kind of a sense? Or is it, no, we actually do love each other dearly?
We do love each other dearly. No, actually, he's a very patient man. I'm lucky. So, we did this whole gig, the book. We travelled around Ireland over the course of a summer, and we went to 16 very different gardens all around the country. And he photographed and I interviewed the people, and really wanted to give a great sense of the different ways in which people are, I suppose, doing edible gardening all around the country, you know, whether it's a well-known gardener like Joy Larkham down in West Cork, or a couple in a little tiny balcony in Dublin. So the idea of the book is to give people lots of information, but to tell the stories of 16 very different Irish kitchen gardens.
There was a period coming through the 80s where we went through my dad's log roll pandemic, and then we seemed to progress into this cobble lock epidemic, and from there we went into the decking. And recently, and last year in particular, I was taking up decks and turning them into grow your own raised beds. Is there a little bit of super saturation possibly to this, and is that reflected in your book?
I hope it isn't super saturation. I mean what I do hope is that it's about people actually coming back to something, you know, realizing that cobble lock isn't much fun to look at. It isn't much fun if you're a gardener. And that really growing your own, it's just such a fundamental life skill, and it gives such joy and such pleasure to people. And, you know, it is basically about growing your own food and the pleasures it brings to you. So I don't think it is a phase or it's something ephemeral. I think people wrote it off as that initially, and increasingly people are beginning to look at it as something that's here to stay. Certainly I grew up, you know, as part of a big family with parents who are keen gardeners who grew a lot of their own fruit and vegetables, and that's still the case. So, you know, I think it's something where we nearly lost it. We nearly forgot it, like a lot of other things we nearly forgot during the boom years. And now we're kind of really realising we nearly threw the baby out with the bathwater, I hope.
When people come to your own garden, what do they see? Is it a case of mechanics have the worst cars? Or is it a case of, well, it's a constant work in progress? Is there an excuse for it? Do you put the garlic as it's withering off to the back of the shed and bring the brand spanking new garlic, you know, to the front so you look pristine and perfect? Is it an element of that?
Well, I'm in a funny situation, actually, because a couple of years ago, myself and my husband bought an old farmhouse down in Leash with 5 acres, which we're very, very slowly doing up bit by bit, kind of using traditional methods. So for the moment, actually, I garden in my parents' garden where I grew up, and which I've gardened since I was a student anyway. So it's a garden that's very familiar to me. And I helped to redesign it, actually. It's very much a family garden. It's a garden that spans a lot of different generations. And no, it's not a show garden. Definitely not. It's plenty of weeds, plenty of mess. It's a family garden, and it's a productive garden. And I'd say I'm proud of it, because like a lot of gardens, you fight to get something to grow sometimes in not the best circumstances. And, it's full of plenty of tasty food that my children go out and graze on, you know, whatever time of the year.
Are you all famous now?
God, yeah, right. That's my 7-year-old son. He saw my name in the paper one day. He said, "Are you famous, man?" I was going, "Definitely not." No.
I noted to some people that I was going to be talking to you, and I asked them, could they send me in their questions? Are you ready for the quick fire quiz round?
God, I hope I am.
Okay, first question. Cat or dog?
I'm definitely a cat person.
Poached, fried or boiled?
Boiled.
Organic or grow your own?
I'm do my best to be organic, so I'm definitely not 100% organic. I'm like a lot of people, I'm 95% organic.
There's many famous gardeners in your book. My mom wants to know why I haven't in it.
Actually, I'll tell you, the amount of people after I did that book, and I thought, oh my God, I wish I'd done them as well. And there's so many people, I mean, you know, yourself included. Dermot Carey is another great gardener I'd love to do. The Glebe Gardens down in West Cork, you know, Ballymaloe. I mean, it was really a case, what we wanted to do was to pick 16 very different gardens, you know, all very different, from a 30-acre garden down in Cork to a tiny balcony. And we just didn't have room. But definitely, you know, that's for From the Ground Up Part 2, you know.
Just to reiterate, you did call me a great gardener there.
I did call you a great gardener there.
Niall, song of the week is Carly Simon, and we'll get back to that quite shortly. Question number 6, we don't have a number 10. Well, we do have a number 10. I think we've about 13 questions in this one. Question number 6, Niall O'Keefe, my co-host who knows nothing about gardening, wants to know why he isn't in the book.
Because he knows nothing about gardening.
Question number 7, point or short?
Point or short? What does that mean?
Sorry, point.
Oh, sorry. Glass of wine.
Ah, God, forgetting there. Rod Stewart or Daniel O'Donnell?
Rod Stewart.
No comment. That would have gone for either question. Your favourite gardening book?
My favourite gardening book? God. I'm a huge fan of any Joy Larkham's book. Her newest book is a great one, Just Vegetating. God, you know, if you have to take another one, it'd be probably one of any Christopher Lloyd book. You know, the what's it called? The Well-Tempered Gardener. It's one of the first books I read in my teens, anyway. And kind of, you know, narky, kind of, you know, funny, snide, clever man. And, you know, just a great garden writer. Very impressive.
Are you a well-tempered gardener yourself?
No, I'm a very bad-tempered gardener. Very competitive. Very bad-tempered, you know. I wasn't born with a sunny nature, no.
Do you curse at your plants?
Occasionally I do curse my plants, but I do issue kind of words of encouragement as well. I try to.
My good friend at Triploid Tree on Twitter noted that she got a torque wrench for Christmas, and at wholesome.ie noted that she once got a meat grinder for Christmas. What is the oddest Christmas present you've ever got?
The oddest Christmas present I ever got? Actually, I've been pretty lucky, but I have to say, I have to pick the worst Christmas present I ever saw somebody get. It was one of those little footbats. It was my sister, sorry. It was really bad. But I know I've been lucky in my Christmas presents. No, I've been lucky. I think once you're a gardener, people kind of, you know, there's a good range of stuff to pick from out there. Yeah.
And finally, if your husband buys you flowers on Valentine's Day, do you look at them critically or do you look at them romantically?
My husband doesn't buy me flowers on Valentine's Day. I'm going to burst into tears now. No, my joke. No, he doesn't. He thinks they're an incredibly commercial waste of time. So he'd more like it to bring me out for or make me a nice meal. Yeah. But I mean, just the fact that if he brought me flowers at all on Valentine's Day, I'd probably be so pathetically grateful that even if they were kind of, you know, bruised bunch of flowers from the local garage, I'd probably just give him a big hug and say thank you so much. So.
Excellent. Do you have a song that you like to garden to?
Oh, God. No, I don't think I do. I like quiet. Actually, one thing I love is quiet. Silence when I garden. I don't get it very often, so, you know, silence is golden as far as I'm concerned. You know, mother of 3 children, 3 boys, so you don't get to savour silence all that often.
2 weeks ago, it was lashing out of the heavens. My friend Anthony McGuinness noted that he was sleeping with the window open. I commented that I find the sound of rain quite soothing, and I got some odd looks and sounds and responses, being that I'm in the gardening profession, same as yourself. Do you listen to the sound of the rain at night time and curse it, or do you love it?
No, I love it. I mean, no, I love the sound. It's very soothing. It's like being in a kind of ship's cabin at night. I have to say, this summer, the summer just gone, there was a point where the sound of rain became a little bit monotonous for everybody, and you did wish that it would stop just for a little while, and the sun would come out, and the temperature would hit over 30, and we'd all get, you know, sunburned for at least a week or so, but that didn't happen.
Niall, it's back to you in the studio. I was going to say change the record, but how about a song of the week, please?
No problem, Peter. And speaking of changing the record, well, vinyl record is certainly the format that this song would have come out on first. It's musical legends and soul men, Sam and Dave singing You Don't Know What You Mean to Me on The Sod Show.
Baby, don't you worry about your man. I'll be coming home as soon as I can. I've got love in the palm of my hand. It's got to get back to you as soon as I can. You don't know, oh, what you mean to me. You don't know, no, what you mean to me. You don't know.
having you on my mind. I'm starting right now, so I will be on time. I wanna do all that I can, oh, yeah, just to prove to you that I'm a little man. You don't know, no, what you mean to me. You don't know, yeah, what you mean to me. You don't know, no, 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 you don't know. Now wait a minute, we got something else we'd like to say right here.
Don't Know What You Mean to Me on The Sod Show, performed by Sam and Dave. Of course, two more of the absolute legends that appear on The Sod Show. And not only do we have musical legends, Peter, but some of our guests have quite legendary status too.
And on that note, Fionnuala Fallon, still in my company, her book From the Ground Up, it's Irish published as well, isn't it?
Yeah, lovely publisher, Collins Press. They do a lot of really good Irish interest books. Kind of small publisher, but very respected. And they did, I have to say, they did a really beautiful job on the book, just physically in terms of the binding and the illustrations. Like, we were so happy. I remember when the book first arrived, they sent me the advance copy and my husband was away, and it arrived in a package, and I thought, God, you know, I'm just not going to open this because I'm actually terrified that I'm not going to like it. So I left it in the box for 2 days until he came home, and then we both opened it together, and it was just such a kind of a huge buzz to see what a great job they'd done. And, you know, you just felt, yeah, that really gets it. And it gets the gardens, and it's more than what we wanted. We're both really happy with it.
I'm one of those who nearly wants to get up at 2:30 in the morning, even though I live in my own home and open my Christmas presents. You've got such great patience.
I do, but I suppose it was a mixture of fear and kind of trepidation. But no, it was. We worked so hard on the book together. It was a joint venture. We did it together, and we kind of followed it right through from the very beginnings of just going around the gardens and all the kind of trips and travels we made around the country. And you know, like any garden book, there's hiccups along the way where you travel to a garden, it might be pouring rain, or, you know, you have to wait and go back the next day. So it was a real case of, yeah, we wanted to do it together and look at it together. But no, I'm proud of it.
Your own book, it's got all of that Irish bit in it. Does it work across in the UK for those listening to this over there?
I mean, I think it does, and that, well, I'd hope it does, and that it's the stories of 16 very different gardeners. But we did do very much from an Irish gardener's point of view, is at the end of each chapter in each gardener, we have a very kind of quick fire kind of question and answer thing, which is full of very useful practical information, like, you know, where do they buy their polytunnel or their glasshouse? You know, what are their favourite gardening books? What are their favourite gardening websites? What are the most useful gardening tools? So I suppose, you know, that crosses, some of that might be of Irish interest only. Some of it's definitely, you know, of huge interest to English gardeners as well. But I suppose I would hope that the stories of the gardeners and you know, how they came to be, how they came to create these gardens, and the obstacles and they faced along the way, and, you know, the stories of how they came to existence would be interesting to everybody. You know, it's about food as well as gardening, you know.
A lot of people listening to the Sod Show will be aware, and again, just to touch on it, David Shaw, potato expert beyond belief, very, very technical, would have been on the show. The week before that was me pottering around the garden with my 2.5-year-old daughter. There was no way on God's earth I could have recorded the perfect piece of audio with some of the babbling that went on in the background. We call it the gibberish language. From your own book, and again to refer to it, one of the things that I love about it dearly was the smallest garden is how big in size?
The smallest garden is 8 square metres, yeah, and it's not, like, a lot of people wouldn't call it a garden, it's a balcony, a windy, windswept kind of, you know, kind of shady balcony right in the middle of Dublin City, owned by two young gardeners who really started off not as gardeners at all, as simply as people who were curious. It was almost like a scientific experiment. Adam Birmingham and his wife wanted to know how many calories they could produce on a on a balcony garden, using just pots, using just containers, and learning about gardening all along the way. So, this isn't a book just about for people with acres of space. I really did try and go to all corners of Ireland to find very different gardeners. And he was fascinating. He was fun. He was just comical. And it was funny to see how somebody could be so successful. And really, they grew a lot of produce on that balcony. Tomatoes, lots of herbs, lots of salad crops. They even experimented with even much bigger crops like raspberries, fruit bushes. God, even, I thought it was comical, broccoli and Brussels sprouts and stuff like that. Big brassicas, The thing was, it was a kind of process of inquiry for them. And they learned a huge amount along the way. And it really converted them to the kind of pleasures of growing their own food and made them kind of lifelong gardeners, I think.
I'm getting a gist of that, the likes of Niall O'Keefe, who is listening in the studio. Niall, are you listening?
Yes, Peter, you've still got me here, yeah.
Who has an apartment balcony, and as he calls it, he has a, what do you call it, Niall? Yes, the Rosemary
Sage. The whole Scarborough
Fair
collection.
The entire Scarborough Fair, well done. But from there, from that apartment balcony, to somebody who kind of wants to get into it, who isn't botanically languaged, that's really bad English, I understand, but who hasn't got that degree in botanical Latin, who doesn't speak all of that lingo, who just wants to try maybe and do those couple of pots on the window ledge. Equally, there's the likes of my mom or Niall's mom and dad who've got that maybe three bed semi D house who can grow a little bit more, but just only want to do that, grow your own bit for maybe 15 minutes a day. Yeah. Did you want to encourage people to do that? Do you think the book might make maybe, how would you say, shunt people away because it, does it go into too much botanical Latin? Is it just enough for everybody? Does it seem to be all-encompassing?
It's definitely not a kind of botanical Latin book, and I didn't really want it to be that at all. I wanted to show, as I say, 16 very different gardeners. So there are quite a lot of gardeners in it who came to it as complete rookies, people who knew nothing about gardening, or what they had known they learned as young children, and they're completely forgotten as adults. One example would be Peggy Murray, this Cork grandmother living down in near Blarney, who kind of came back to gardening after kind of really not doing much of it at all during her adult life. And it's a kind of a nice story when her two parents died and she was kind of grieving for them both and, really finding it hard to kind of get over their death. And she ended up emptying out the shed and clearing it, clearing out the contents. And she found her mother's old gardening boots and her father's old gardening fork, which is about 50 years old at the time. And she kind of thought, okay, God, it kind of brought her back to her childhood where her parents used to grow vegetables and she used to be sent down to the local shop to sell a few lettuce for a few pennies. And she kind of remembered her grandparents when really they bought so little food. Most of what they ate was grown, so little was bought from a shop. And she decided to go ahead and kind of garden out in the small back garden. She had a little back garden, town garden. And from that, just this complete love of gardening very quickly flourished. And she ended up taking up an allotment with her daughter out in Blarney in an amazing old Victorian wall garden, hydro farm. And she took up this allotment with her daughter and with all her grandchildren. And we went down to see her one summer's day and it was just this remarkable place, had been a kind of a farm, and Swayne McCullough, the owner, had decided, actually, you know what, farming isn't what it used to be, but I want to some way make this place a living place again. And I converted this wall garden into 20 different allotments. And Peggy was one of the first people to take it over. And really started as a rookie gardener. And it was fascinating to see that story of how she became a very knowledgeable, experienced gardener. But also, it all stemmed from a love of food, actually. She loved good food, and she wanted to eat seasonal food and locally sourced food. And she was depressed by the produce she saw growing in supermarkets, that was all sourced from outside the country, or so much of it was. And she has a great blog, Organic Growing Pains. If you look at her, it's full of recipes, all the stuff she cooks from the allotment, kind of chutneys and jams and pear cakes. And it's completely, radically changed the way she eats as well. And she would say the way her daughter eats and the way her grandchildren eat. So I think even for somebody who's put off by the botanical, kind of very technical end of gardening, and a lot of people are, this book is not that kind of a gardening book at all, no.
Do you watch Monty Don on a Friday evening and heckle him, or do you turn around and go, no, I know it all, I'm an author, and you go to the pub and just have a pint, and then people ask you questions about, oh, my plant has a broken arm, how do I fix it, and you go, now I have to answer this, I should have stayed at home and watched Monty Don. Which are you?
Well, I don't get a chance to watch Monty Don because I've got young kids, so it's on the time exactly when you're putting young kids to bed. But I actually don't mind Monty Don. I know he has his critics, I know he does, but he's a kind of, he's a pleasant face of gardening, isn't he? He's kind of, he's nice to watch on television. So I don't really, I mean, I know that people object to him, but I actually think he's quite good at what he does. He sells gardening to people, and he, I think that's what you need to do. Sometimes people are put off by it, and they think, oh God, you know. But something like Monty Don does make it seem a lot more kind of, you know, accessible, which it is.
Does it make you want to buy a pair of breeches and a pair of brown cords?
Absolutely. I'm saving up for those as we speak.
Whatever happened to Titchmarsh and the ground force thing? Did you like that one?
Yeah. Actually, he's a great gardener. He's just brought out a gardening book of his own, which is supposed to be very good. I haven't seen it yet.
Shh, quiet. Jesus Christ. edit. You can leave that one in, Niall. I was watching on RTE Player and Gerry Daly was on, and Gerry was doing how to lay paving slabs into a seeded lawn, and I was thinking to myself, how far we've come. We're back to the log roll pandemic again, maybe. Yeah. And there was tree climbers up against the back wall, and it was just grey blocks. Yeah. And I was,
when was this kind of, you're talking 1980s kind of stuff?
Oh, I don't know when it was. Yeah. I mean, we didn't even have a television back then. It might, you know, maybe have been, but gardening has definitely evolved, is the point that I would make.
Well, I think it has completely, yeah. I mean, I have to be careful here because, you know, actually, in Gerry, what I would say about Gerry, I write for the Irish Gardening Magazine, and Gerry is sort of my boss, but he is an immensely knowledgeable gardener, you know, an incredibly knowledgeable gardener. I think, yeah, we started off from a really low bottom point, I suppose, where you know, I suppose we changed a lot. It went from it being a purely functional space to it being a purely decorative space, and now hopefully we've found somewhere in the middle, you know, that it's decorative and it's functional. And that's one thing I found about going around to all these different gardens, you know, that they were beautiful as well as productive. And I think that is the point of a garden. It shouldn't just be kind of neat rows of vegetables or, you know, neat rows of paving slabs. It should be a joyful place, an enjoyable place to sit out in. And, you know, that means mixing fruit and flowers and vegetables all together. You know, I think that's the best kind of garden. You know, one you can just go ahead and you know, nibble a few raspberries and enjoy the sweet pea and, you know, sit out and enjoy it in all different ways.
We're December as we speak, and the cliche that I always constantly get, no matter what day it is, it must be terribly quiet out there for you. And also, sure, there's nothing to be done in the garden in this weather. Does that get in your nerves? Do you have an answer back for that one? And are you one of those that kind of dons on the wellies or the hiking boots and just gets out there rain, hail, sleet or snow?
Yeah, no, I'm out in the garden area every day, and actually I really enjoy the garden in autumn and in winter because it's a different pace. And it gives you a chance to kind of, you know, to prune and to clean and to tidy, you know, to make leaf mould. You know, there's plenty of things you can be planting as well. I mean, I just finished planting kind of garlic cloves and planting rhubarb. And, you know, there's stuff in the polytunnel I'm still nursing along and minding. So, yeah, it isn't that frenetic kind of mad craziness of kind of, you know, mid-spring when you're sowing everything and manically minding everything and making sure it's protected from the frost and, you know, potting it on and... But there's just a different pace to it. I think most gardeners, you learn to really enjoy that as you get older. It's just, you know, each season has its own pleasures.
More mature. I'm quite young as a gardener. Yeah. I'm still quite young. Yes, Grecian 2000. The book From the Ground Up, How Ireland is Growing Its Own by Fionnuala Fallon is available in bookshops as we speak. I was in Hughes and Hughes in Swords about 2 weeks ago. You were just above your man, Hugh Fearnley.
I know, and I was above him as well. You see that? Yeah.
No, I wish.
And there was only 4 copies of your book left in store. I'm gathering that's a good thing and it's going quite well.
I hope so. I mean, I think it's kind of, you know, it's kind of, it's word of mouth with a gardening book. So I hope when people read the book, they get a sense of what kind of a book it is. And I really do hope they enjoy it because, I mean, we set it out to be a book about Ireland and about its people and about its gardens. So I hope it captures that. I feel it does.
How much does the book cost?
God, now it's €20 from Collins Press. I think it's €24.99 in the book shops, as far as I know.
You're good. You're good.
Not really.
It is €24.99.
Is it? Oh, phew, thank God.
Do you think it's good value for money?
I think it is, because, I mean, funny enough, we were talking about it, even just from the point of view, it's so beautifully made and it's so generously illustrated. It's full of absolutely glorious colour photographs of everyone in the garden. There's so many of them, and, you know, that wouldn't really have been possible unless, you know, Richard had been my husband, being blunt, and he'd done it with me. No, I think it is good value for money, yeah, I do.
Who's on the front cover without looking?
Tanguy de Toulget's wife. He's a great French gardener down in County Leash. His wife, Isabel. And then there is Emma Griggers from Gert Black Farm down in in Cork. And then there's The Hand of Madeleine McKeever from Brown Envelope Seeds. And then, God, there's I can't remember.
Who's on the back?
Oh, Jim Crone with his amazing horses. Incredible. Actually, if you look at the back, just last thing, this is an amazing story. This horse, I think it's quality. They're so completely in tune with what he wants them to do that they can walk between rows of vegetables with literally a foot space and place these enormous hoofs really perfectly between them without treading on anything, without damaging a leaf. And the photograph shows him with his horse harrowing between inter-row grubbing, actually, is what he's doing, with this amazing horse. And he's just tranquilly walking along and not stepping on the leaves on either side.
The photograph that Fionnuala couldn't remember is actually a plant. There was no person in it. There you go. So that's that. Folks, if you want to go and get yourself a copy of this book, it is highly recommended. I've had it for about the last 3 weeks. The one thing, and a bit like the Sideshow, there is that little bit of technical, but there's also that bit of Peter sitting down, kind of growing plants under his bed, kind of bit about it with no qualifications whatsoever. Way, way, way back in the day when I was but a... Don't be laughing. When I was but a nipper. I'm trying to do my monologue, epilogue, outclose your thing. It really, really is. And sometimes, you know, the press releases come in on books and they do say it is beautifully crafted and it is beautifully put together. It really, really is. More than that, for those of you from Ireland, it is Collins Press made. It is Irish true and true to the heart and to a T, and from all four corners of not the globe, but just this wee small isle in which we live. For those in the UK, from the Philip Voice, I suppose, side of things, the Landscape Juice Network. Yeah, you know something, I've got a funny feeling you're going to have a little bit of something Irish at your bookshelves over there. And how bad would that be? Pretty good, I would suggest. Are you asking me, would it be good for a Christmas present? Yeah. Would I like if you bought me one? Yeah, I know I have one already and I'm going to get it signed. If you're looking to get your hands on a copy, you want to find out more, we'll have this, all the show notes, and a beautiful photograph of Fionnuala up on sodshow.com, my own blog, that's blog.donaghanlandscaping.com. And if you want to get yourself a copy of the book online, head to www.collins, that's plural, C-O-L-L-I-N-S, collinspress.ie. In the meantime, Fionnuala Fallon, thank you so much for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you very much for everything. No, I really enjoyed myself.
Excellent. I am a brilliant entertainer. I shall get up on the tables now and dance. No, I won't. Niall, back to you in the studio.
Thanks, Peter. In the few brief seconds that are left, I will say thank you for listening. Thanks to greensax.ie, compostable bags for home and garden, our kind sponsor. And do tune in next Friday when we'll be talking Christmas presents. Whatever you do in the great outdoors, enjoy yourselves. Take care.